now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Today, my topic is the making of a host. A host is an apparent human being with a genetic profile and subjected to a certain degree of indoctrination, brainwashing, manipulation, trauma, and the like, which enables one or more non-human entities, usually non-physical from our three-dimensional, rapidly becoming fourth-dimensional perspective. These are beings that typically reside out of phase, out of our particular dimensional frequency. And because of this underlying predisposition due to genetics, indoctrination, and other factors, which I'll get into, it allows these, from our 3D perspective, once again, essentially non-corporeal, non-physical beings to develop an attachment and, in many cases, eventually assimilate what I call eventually interface with the host human, the host hybrid human, to be more exact, because we are talking about hybrids here of one form or another, one stripe or another. In truth, many of us are hybrids. What I'm going to be referring to today is the hybrid host, who are all around us in society. They've been infiltrated, insinuated into all the major institutions, especially in the media, especially in cinema, in Hollywood, the military, the intelligence community, etc., etc. So I'm going to talk about how the process of becoming a host works, and how, and combined with the fact that there are so many non-corporeal, essentially interdimensional beings, or at any rate, beings that have the means to alter their vibrational frequency, this hosting process allows them to take up humans as a host. And at that point, they can begin to work through the host as a medium to affect changes in our reality from a micro family level, which can be quite extensive when you consider the extended family, or clans or tribal groupings, etc., etc. I mean, we just keep scaling this up, and you'll see what I mean as we go along. And you take that process to the logical extreme of flooding our reality with as many hosting entities taking up host in a parasitic fashion. This process has radically escalated the last couple of years due to this rollout. These parasitic interdimensional beings, or some of them are physical beings that have the ability to project themselves, essentially project themselves astrally into another being for purposes of taking them over. And these beings are all over the place. They essentially share the same, I wouldn't say the same frequency necessarily, but a similar or a close frequency bandwidth. Those with the etheric third eye vision can see them, and also, as I'll get into in this commentary, those that are on certain types of gateway drugs that literally open them up, allow them to see into this arena, if you will. Increasingly, this is going on now with the rollout, where more and more people are seeing these entities. The point being is that these entities have always been around, but now conditions have been set up to enable these entities en masse to start taking up people as host. in huge numbers.
One of the things we have to come to grips with is the fact that many human family trees, if you go far enough in the past, you will find cannibalism. Not in every family tree, of course, but in many. And what this means is those acts of cannibalism, however remote in the distant past, are still present in the genetic ancestral memory of the people living today. And this is more pronounced in certain cultures, and it manifests itself in a number of ways in those cultures. Not only does the cannibalism stay embedded, if you will, in the genetics, but it's also present in the morphic resonance field, the M field that Rupert Sheldrake talks about. And these archontic beings, particularly reptilians, demonic entities, etc., they know that not only within the morphic field, but in the DNA profile, in the ancestral memory of people where cannibalism existed in their lineage, there are, for lack of a better term, and I've talked about this before, receptors or something like it, which enable these entities, these archontic parasitic entities, to plug themselves into and thereby establish a foothold with the intention of creating a stronghold within someone's energy field, energy bodies, and in their mind. The cannibal receptor is latent within many people, and I believe over time, the powers that be, have done things with the food and with certain treatments, so-called, which has strengthened this receptor, made it more viable. So when the time comes, when the possessing entities have gained a foothold in people, they can begin manipulating the dreams, the behaviors, the waking consciousness of individuals, and especially if they can get them involved in cult-like activity, they can definitely steer them in a cannibalistic direction. The next best thing they can do is put them in an environment, a military environment, for example, where they are obliged, as part of the occupation, to kill others, to kill, develop a bloodlust for killing, develop a sadistic need, a sadistic obsession with killing. And this leads them in certain directions. They may never become a full-on cannibal, but for some with a genetic predisposition, a psychological profile, the reptilian bloodline is very strong in a family. The mere act of killing, especially killing in large numbers, can definitely affect the psyche of certain people. It's been observed on numerous occasions when someone has seen too much combat, and it's a certain psyche, certain personality, a certain genetic profile. When they've seen too much combat, seen too much killing, experienced too much trauma for a prolonged period of time, some of them go into what they call a thousand-yard stare, also referred to as a thousand-year stare, where they just kind of stare blankly off at a point in space somewhere. And some of them become nonverbal, pretty much. They become very insular. Kind of a darkness pervades over them. And the accounts I've read, this is going back to World War II at least, some of the other combat vets in the same units will say amongst themselves, "Stay away from that guy. stay away. There's something wrong with them. And I read the account one time of a Australian SAS guy. He'd come back from Afghanistan really traumatized, and he was having these recurring dreams of picking through a battlefield and seeing human body parts. And then at one point he found in a shell crater a severed human hand, and then he picked it up and then he took a bite out of it, and then the shock of that made him wake up. Point being is that once that foothold is established, these entities will then begin, well, one of the things they can do is create these recurring dreams like I just talked about. And this is aided and abetted by sometimes direct astral dreamscape manipulation, where they're trying to serve you up bloody food and serve you up blood. And by they, I mean reptilians and other nefarious beings in the astral dreamscape. They will do this. They will create some kind of food concoction, but deliberately leave it like a bloody mess, like it's uncooked, like uncooked meat, uncooked steak, and they're trying to push it on you, right? It'll either be a reptilian or a reptilian in the guise of a human, and they're trying to make you eat it. And you know, my rule of thumb is never eat or drink anything in the astral dreamscape. That rule number one. And this whole process, and I just kind of diverged here into cannibalism, because that, if you take this to the extreme conclusion, the extreme end, that's where they want to lead a lot of people. For some of these bloodlines, remember, they're also, for lack of a better term, alien abductees. So occasionally and quite often, for some people and some bloodlines, some family trees, these ETs, oftentimes reptilians, or reptilian cosmic vassals doing the heavy medical lifting for the reptilians, will abduct certain people in certain bloodlines and essentially change them from the inside out, make them more and more reptilian. More and more things will be done to the neurology, to the nervous system, you name it, that will make them more, for lack of a better term, reptilian. And it's more than just an infusion of DNA. They rewire the neurology in so many ways. And then this is all augmented by the cinema, by repetitive messaging in the news media. It's very much a they live matrix scenario where everything is meant to reinforce everything else.
I've had Jeff Brady on the show, and he's talked about UFO mimicry. In this instance, what we're talking about is essentially human mimicry. It's these primarily reptilians, but they're not the only beings that take up people as hosts, but they affect the most changes. This is literally their sphere of influence, and people are starting to catch on. Even surface level types now are starting to catch on that there's a non-human element behind this. Another point about the cannibalism, and it bears repeating, we see the recycling of the aborted so-called fetal tissue cells, right, that are recycled back in not only to the existing population, but in the newborns. And we have the mystery flavor enhancers. No telling what that's all really about. I mean, I'm thinking Soylent Green angle, right? And then you look at the agenda to degrade the morals, destroy the moral compass of people through brainwashing, critical race theory, Luciferian indoctrination, etc., etc. This is all one big cult that they drive to plunge everyone into. When the moral integrity baseline has been utterly destroyed, well, for the most part, for many people, that is another means for these entities to get in. And this is reinforced over and over again in cinema, in the media, social media, the various influencers, etc., etc. A lot of it stems from the Frankfurt School, but in the various forms and guises, the means and methods of moral degradation have existed all along, but they really codified it with the Frankfurt School. How do you take down societies? Integrated, homogeneous, proud nation states, culture, societies. How do you destroy them from within? Well, by moral degradation. And the Frankfurt School is the past master of that. So if you haven't already familiarized yourself with the doctrines of the Frankfurt School, go and check them out, because that just pretty much lays out their plan of infiltrating, destroying, corrupting, corroding from within societies by moral degradation. And again, all this in part is meant to allow these entities to come in. There was an understanding on the part of, oh, this goes back again down the ages, warlocks, wizards, dark side types, they knew this, but it was codified by the Frankfurt School with the understanding they knew that there was a spiritual component to this, that it wasn't just people conditioning and manipulating people to act out in bad ways, that there was a spiritual component by inculcating these dogmas, these behaviors, these mindsets in the people of total negativity, perversity, etc., etc. They knew it would create inroads for entities to get in and take over individuals and then eventually society as a whole. It's important to talk about the Kami Luciferian philosophy, if you want to call it that. A very interesting book has been written called Marx and Satan, written by Richard Wurmbrandt. And Wurmbrandt, who was imprisoned by the communists in Romania for warning about the evils of communism, he has proven that there's definitely a satanic underpinning to communism, and indeed, Karl Marx himself was in all likelihood a Satanist. I mentioned earlier the receptors, for lack of a better term, that allow entities, negative entities, to gain a foothold in people. Well, these receptors are a two-way street. Not only do entities use them to plug into people, access people, their feelings, their thoughts, manipulate their dreamscape, etc., but it also has the potential, being a two-way street, of plunging the individual, in our example, into the dark spiritual realms, the nether dimensional realms, populated by very dark entities, demons, what have you. So not only do these receptors allow entities in, it can plunge an individual into these nether realms, dark dimensions. If Karl Marx and his acolytes were themselves Satanists, then it stands to reason that their words, their writings, their philosophies, their dogmas are imbued with a spiritual power, a spiritual dark force. And this would explain how people can go through such abrupt changes when they get around these leftists and these commies. One moment, in our example, you have a beautiful young woman, very feminine, attractive, loving, gets around these leftists, call them what you will. Next thing you know, she's dyeing her hair, you know, several different colors, shaving it down to a buzz cut. It's just overnight transformation into a hideous, foul-mouthed, loathsome, self-hating creature. These entities, which are around all the time anyway, once this girl in our example started attending these meetings, getting around all these leftist, Marxist, progressives, and started being inculcated with the critical race theory and white privilege and all that stuff. The whole gender dysphoria thing. The moment she was exposed to all that in a spiritual sense, if she did not have strong auric shields, strong firewalls, a strong family foundation, and sometimes kids have strong family foundations, strong moral code, it doesn't matter. Getting around these entity-infested leftists and spending time with them, the entities just jump right into them and just pollute their brains because the very teachings, the philosophies are imbued with a dark force, a darkness, which allows these entities to gain footholds, access those receptors I spoke of, and it's a two-way street. They jump on board and really start going to town on the person in the form of OCD thought loops, repetitive thought loops, perverse thoughts, you name it, violent sadistic thoughts, violent ideations, violent imagery, mental imagery. I mean, that just basically describes the whole Antifa movement right there, communism in general. And then because it's a two-way street, that individual at times, consciously or subconsciously, and in the dream state, can be plunged into a very dark realm. So the indoctrination and the manipulation, it comes at a number of different levels, not just one level, not just standard indoctrination, sit there and be brainwashed. I mean, it runs way deeper than that. We see the bitter fruit of these communists and leftists in the blue cities in America. The filth, the degradation, feces in the street. Everything is degenerated into moral decay, into violence, into all kinds of perversions that are being lauded as not only normal these days, but not only are they being normalized, but they're being lauded as being something good and something nice. And it just shows just how everything has been inverted, turned topsy-turvy. If you get a chance, and I've talked about this before, watch that movie, The Super Mario Brothers. Spoiler alert. When the Super Mario Brothers get to the underground domain of the head shapeshifter, played by the late Dennis Hopper, the underground city is just a rat's nest. It's just in decay. There's just crime. There's just villainy. And that was a portent of what was to come. They were showing people via cinema, which they frequently do. This is what your cities will look like in the future. It was very much an escape from New York type scenario, and that's what comes about as a result of these liberal, communist, socialist, progressive, call them what one will, policies and philosophies. When these democratic Luciferian scumbags get elected through fixed elections over and over and over again, they just destroy every single place that they're in charge of. They just run it into the ground as they're supposed to. Throughout this process, the people that create these policies, and it's not really creative, it's destructive, but the people who push these policies and these philosophies not only ensure that the cities and municipalities and counties they're in charge of get run into the ground, but the philosophies they espouse lead people to becoming host when their minds are just filled with such liberal, socialist, communist garbage. And the underpinning of these philosophies is satanic anyway, an anti-life, death-worshipping, perversion, sadistic violence, violence for violence sake, it leads people in and of itself. And I would think that even if someone didn't have a genetic profile, heavy in the reptilian DNA department, I would think, and I'm satisfied it's the case, that just frequent exposure to such ideologies will help to make people host. We've heard talk of what's been described as the pathological left, and that's a very good description of them. They're pathological, they're crazy. I mean, have you seen pictures of some of these Antifa members, for example? Just look at them. They look demon infested, and there's a reason for that. I spent a lot of time in San Jose, California, which is a liberal hellhole. And I've been around a lot of Democrats. And a commonality amongst them, and this is going back to the 70s, the early mid 70s. Early 70s, I was in Daly City, right next to San Francisco. Likewise, a liberal hellhole. And then moved 50 miles south to San Jose. Growing up there, just being around so many Democrats. And one thing they all had in common was an abiding hatred of America. They just hated America. They hated America and everything it stood for. They hated the American flag. They would just go into a mouth-foaming frenzy when they would hear the national anthem. I mean, this is long before all these athletes are taking the knee for BLM. Long before that, these Democrats always hated America. They always hated the American flag. They hated the national anthem. They hated everything about America. And now I understand why. I really didn't understand it then, but I understand now that so many of them had been taken over by this Wetiko hive mind parasite virus. I mean, they never had anything constructive to offer in place of America. They just wanted to tear it down and destroy it. And I've sat with like a whole dinner table with these leftists, and it's just amazing. You talk about ingrates, talk about just not being appreciative of being born in a country like America and living there and being able to reap the benefits of being in a place like that. And all they can give back in return is hatred and death and destruction and complete antagonism and spitefulness towards everyone who is a non-Democrat. Democrats, I've found, because Democrats are essentially communists, many of them now openly know that, but the philosophy has always been the same. It's a Luciferian mentality. And yes, I know that many Republicans, especially these rhinos, are just scum, and so many of them are criminals, perverts, and pedos. Yes, granted, a lot of them wouldn't be in politics and moved up in into key positions if they weren't scum. Okay, I know that. But these Democrats are in another league entirely because there's so many of them. Still not enough of a majority to actually vote in their candidates, because they don't need to anymore. They just keep lying and cheating in these elections. And that's the term Bolshevik, where it means majority, but they were never a majority, right? They just pretended to be a majority. This Luciferian ideology, this entity infesting ideology, has been pushed into schools for so long, especially in the blue states like California. The critical race theory, the leftist ideology, it just churns out hordes of these entity-infested kids, these college kids, and increasingly younger and younger in high school. They're just churning out hordes of these entity-infested, rage-filled. Tip there, that's the key point, is that the philosophy, the ideology induces rage within people, which then opens them up even further for essentially entity possession. There's nothing to counterbalance it. There's no softness. There's no, okay, let's do real community work instead of community disruption work. Now, that's one of the jokes, inside jokes about the term a community organizer. They're really community wreckers. So there's nothing to balance it out where they say, okay, this week we're going to do good deeds. It's all just rage, hatred, and it manifests itself in these disgusting blue cities, right? You look at some of these old school American cities like Detroit, which used to be a hub of manufacturing where the automobile industry really got started. And in World War II, so many of those automobile plants were converted to plane manufacturing plants, tank manufacturing plants, etc., etc. Now it's just a one big feculent dump. Places like Detroit and Philadelphia and San Francisco. Anywhere the Democrats had established footholds, they just bring in so much darkness, so much perversion, so much death. I mean, how they just give out hypodermic needles and they make all these places available for heroin addicts to come and shoot up. And it's everything is it's very dark, it's very demonic. What's going on in so many of these blue cities and spreading out throughout the Western world, really. And in the process, they've created so many of these hosts, right? Now, I mean, the topic of this commentary was the making of a host, but I'm looking at it from the standpoint not only from an individual microcosmic sense, but also from a macrocosmic collective sense. Because Karl Marx was a Satanist and his philosophies and his writings were satanic in nature, it absolutely makes sense that presented the way it is today in critical race theory, everything else, it creates a vacuum in people, which all these entities just jump into and take them over. All these rage-filled philosophies and creeds and ideologies. And like I said, I've been around these Democrats. They've got nothing. They never have anything constructive to offer. It's just all negative. They're against real progress. And again, everything's an inversion. They call themselves progressive, some of them. But it's the exact opposite. Everything they go, everywhere they go and take over, it just winds up in moral decay and physical decay. I mean, death, literally. It's everything turns to dust. Everything they touch turns to dust. Everything. And that's what they want with the expanded program we see today, the unlimited immigration and all the rest. They're just absolutely destroying everything. And when we look at these high-level entity infested sewer scum, hybrid, reptilian hybrid types, we mustn't assume that, yes, some of them may be fully possessed. Some of them may even be shapeshifters, but it doesn't mean that they have an understanding of the grand cosmic scheme of things, what the reptilians and the other parasitic beings really want to do. They could just be operating on some kind of program where they're just nihilists, that they just want destruction for destruction's sake. Which explains, in part, why so many Western politicians, news presenters, fake news presenters, etc., why they push for nuclear war, expanded war, and nuclear war. They're probably not in the loop as far as the grand cosmic scheme of things that maybe, just maybe, the entities that control this planet, as part of the terraforming agenda, they want to make it, they want to raise the background radiation levels some to some degree, right? Now, the Anthony Blinkens and the others in the world, yes, and some of them, I'm not necessarily naming individuals, but some of them may be full-on Satanists, may be full-on shapeshifters, but they still may not have a grasp of the grand cosmic scheme of things that the reptilians have in mind, their grand strategy. But they don't have to. All they have to do is push for nuclear war, for example. And if it comes about, and it doesn't matter if they get irradiated and blown up in the process, that's beside the point. They're useful idiots, right? In the overall scheme of things, they're tools. However exalted their positions are here on the surface, and however much power and authority even truthers ascribe to them, they're still small fry in the cosmic scheme of things. So if the entities working through them, and the entities working through them don't have to brief them and tell them, okay, this is what we're all about, this is what we're planning, this is what we're doing. They don't have to do that. Now, some do. Some of these high-level mucky mucks, they have indwelling entities that probably give them a good idea of, the strategy, the overall grand strategy, what they, the reptilians and their cosmic allies, have in mind. But for, I would say, many of even these relatively high-level types, they don't need to know all the details. They just have to be imbued with this innate self-destructiveness, which they then project out to the rest of the world in the form of public demands for nuclear war, for example. So they're fulfilling an agenda. It may not make sense, and it's not supposed to make sense to a rational human being. It wouldn't make sense. But at a higher cosmic level, and if we're talking about terraforming, it makes perfect sense for these entity-infested dupes. And I'm not giving them a free pass. These are evil sewer scum. And they think they're in the loop. They think they know everything, but they don't really. They're just useful idiots at a higher level. So in our example, they push for nuclear war, not really understanding the ramifications, the implications of that, and what that means for the planet, all the life forms here. But in so doing, they're fulfilling an agenda. They don't have to know all the details. Even at that level, it's compartmentalized, strictly need to know. That's how a lot of these entities work. When they take people up as certain as host, and these hosts have a certain genetic profile, a certain psychological profile, which makes them act in certain predictable ways. And it may manifest itself as arrogance and presumptuousness and a know-it-all mentality, but really they're operating on a program. And they're given just enough instruction, just enough support, and just basically just turn loose because the entity's working through them and their own psych profile, they will do what they need to do. So keep those points in mind, because I'm not just talking about host on a microcosmic individual level. I'm talking about the impact on our planet of these hosts acting in unison with many other hosts at multiple levels, all across the board. They're all making a contribution to eradicating the human race. And destroying it, supplanting it with something else. And before I finish this segment of the commentaries, and I'll elaborate more on this in the member segment, as part of that terraforming agenda, it's possible that these plandemic babies, so-called, are part and parcel of that agenda. I can't believe that these plandemic babies were an unforeseen consequence to the rollout. At the highest levels, the powers that be working here on this planet, certainly the entities working through them at a higher level, would have known that some of these babies would be born, that somehow they would avoid, the fate of so many others, miscarriages, spontaneous abortions, etc., etc. They must have known that so many of these kids would somehow slip through the cracks, and that is a whole nother can of worms. Do those kids, those plandemic babies, do they have their own distinct Bluetooth signal as opposed to their parents, for example? What's their lifespan going to be? How long will they be here with us? Will they be adapted to survive, you know, life here on the surface with potentially a higher background radiation count, irradiated countryside, et cetera, et cetera, if it comes to that? A final point about the hosting process in this segment. Some of these hosts, because of their reptilian genetics, preponderance of reptilian genetics, because they were born in certain bloodlines, and these entities tend to, this is why they used to be called familiars, familiar spirits, familiar root family, okay, generational. In some of these families, the dark magic is very strong. So not only are these people deliberately and knowingly taken up as hosts, they want to be, that's the process of the rituals and what have you, and increasingly the technology, because remember, it works at many different levels. The reptilian and gray vassals that work for the reptilians, in our example, they imbue more and more reptilian genetics inside certain people in particular bloodlines, essentially changing them from the inside out, making them more reptilian in neurology, in genetic profile, etc., etc. The hosting process, when they get taken up as full-time, fully possessed individuals, the entities that come in will have all the ancestral memory, not only of the reptilian species in our example, but the human hybrid genetic memory. And with that will come all this know-how about black magic, astral travel, remote viewing, spell casting, what have you. So if you look at someone like Karl Marx, you're not only looking at someone who's been taken up as a host, you're looking at a warlock. Underline the word war three times, warlock, because that's what they are. They have all these powers, and they have knowledge of the dark arcane arts. And increasingly, that is being combined with AI, with high tech, etc., etc. So keep in mind that some of these hosts have powers. I mean, the reptilian hosts that I've known in the UFO field, some of these guys were not only shapeshifters, but I mean, they're astral operators. They can jump into people's astral dreamscape and just do all kinds of stuff. And they're serial astral rapetoids. They would astrally rape women in a serial fashion, okay? Because they had the means to do so. Keep that in mind. Once these entities get into them, and especially if they are already part of a bloodline family that is deeply into the dark arts, these hosts will manifest all kinds of powers and abilities. And depending on the genetic profile of someone that these entities take up as hosts, then they can start steering them in certain directions. Just note how many serial killers have an obsession with black magic, with devil worship. So many of them. Jeffrey Dahmer was just one example. Keep that in mind. Again, it's a two-way street. Entities take these people up as hosts, but they also plunge these people consciously and subconsciously into a very, very dark nether realm, populated full of demons and entities of all stripes, negative entities. Thank you for listening. Happy New Year to one and all. Let's make 2023 a memorable year. Let's start to turn this whole thing around. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the start of the member segment.